The 6th Annual Alaska Federation of Natives Convention was reconvened in Anchorage on December 16th, 17th, and 18th, 1971, to consider the passage by Congress of the Alaska Native Land Claims Bill. President Nixon had indicated that he would wait on signing the bill, pending the approval of the assembled delegates from over 200 villages throughout the 49th state. The meeting was called to explain the provisions of the bill, to permit the delegates to discuss whether they found it an acceptable resolution to the long struggle for native land rights, and to outline possible steps for implementing the provisions of the act, pending the president's signature. In contrast to the earlier part of the convention, held in October at the Travelers Inn in Fairbanks, the location of the reconvened session, the Student Union of Alaska Methodist University in Anchorage, lent a more businesslike tone to the proceedings, and this was definitely more of a people's convention. On December 18th, Harry Carter, Executive Director of the Alaska Federation of Natives, led the opening of the three-day meeting. First came the presentation of the colors, and then
the invocation by the Reverend Merkulia from St. George Island.
Let us pray to the Lord. O Holy Father, look upon us here gathered together this day, commencing our convention of the Alaska Federation of Natives. Impart to us the grace of thy Holy Spirit, that this organization and its leaders, the president, chieftains, and delegates, may reach their decisions and objectives through wisdom, understanding, and practicality in a moral and ethical manner. We supplicate and pray that thou guidest us in our endeavors through thine infinite loving kindness. This land of Alaska, which thou gave to our ancestors who had come and gone before us, is now being handed to us a second time by the act of the United States Congress and our untiring efforts. A second chance is given to us by thee to be the new custodians and caretakers. We are now entrusted with the task of governing and overseeing our future real estate. Help us not to backbite each other and be demonically greedy like the publicans. Instead, bless our righteous efforts and deeds. Pour forth thy bountiful spirit of grace that we live and work in virtue and holiness, growing in thy favor and love as upright men. Help us to work together for tomorrow, which is our theme. Through the mercies and bounties of thy love towards mankind, of thine only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, with whom thou art blessed together with thine all-holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the Alaska Federation of Natives, Mr. Don Wright.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I do not have a prepared statement for you today, but I do have some thoughts that I want to share with you that I think may be helpful for deliberation in the future. The Congress of the United States has acted on a piece of legislation that will make history not only for the state of Alaska, but for the United States and for the world. In the year or more that I've spent most of my time in Washington, I've come to know a lot of the congressmen, the senators, the members of the existing Nixon administration in the White House and around Washington, D.C. To the best of my knowledge, a land transaction such as this has never taken place anywhere in the world before. It's been the history of most nations to deal in total with other nations, each recognizing sovereignty that was gained by force of arms. The Congress of the United States at this time has truly recognized Aboriginal title that is vested in you people and left to you as an inheritance by your forefathers. The Congress recognized this, listened to your leadership, and acted on a piece of legislation that they feel is fair and just. Some of us individually may have thoughts about the fairness of this legislation. Some of us, no doubt, are not satisfied totally, but we have to recognize that we are American citizens, citizens of the state of Alaska, and proud of our own heritage. This fact should remain foremost in the minds of each one of you as you begin to try to understand the text of this legislation passed by the United States Congress and now on the desk of the President of the United States for his signature. Upon his signing, it will become law. The wording in this document is very complex and difficult. It says things that will be interpreted by lawyers in different ways. It was intended to be a total settlement, recognizing that some regions are treated different than others, recognizing that some people in Alaska, Native people, are deprived more than others of proper housing, medical attention, education, and opportunity for economic development and betterment as individuals. But the leadership in the United States Congress that stood firmly behind the Alaska Federation of Natives and the respective delegates from your villages and regions did the best they could. And I believe that we all owe these leaders in Congress a debt of gratitude. They've labored long and hard to come up with this document. There were tremendous pressures, special interest pressures, from conservation groups, from money institutions, from industry such as oil and timber. Every day, pressure on every single member of each committee that worked on this bill. These same pressures were on the President of the United States when he introduced his version of the bill, which we promptly went on record saying was not necessarily satisfactory, but it was a giant step in the right direction for a fair and just settlement. All of the views of all of these people are summarized today in this one document. We feel that this document is so important to you individually, to your villages, to your regions, to the state of Alaska, and to the nation, that we're going to take all the time necessary to make sure that you individually understand what it contains and how it would affect you. That's not an easy task. So with this in mind, we have subdivided the conference room into 13 sections, one section for each regional organization, including the 13th for those representatives from out of state who could, if they choose to, form a urban national regional corporation. Now, it's very difficult to go over a document as complicated as this and understand it in a short period of time. So what we'll do first is to have every village delegate within each specific region select and identify their regional chairman. Some of you have already done this, some of you have not. And we'll ask you to sign in for the region. The most important single issue is that we have a representative from every village in the state of Alaska. Then each region and every member here should read carefully the bill. Take as much time as is necessary. I will be available, and other attorneys will be available, to talk in caucus with each region and attempt to explain how your region or villages will be treated under this bill.
Yeah. Pedro Bay, Non-Dalton, Nunilchik, New Halen.
Tell John I can see.
English Bay.
I think some of these are included.
I heard there was money. I brought a big bag.
He was an advancement from my area. We need some push.
Well, I don't know.
Hyonic.
Well, why don't we?
Yes. Seraphim.
Seldovia.
Not listed.
Salamatov.
Yeah. Rika. Harry Man or Rika.
Is that listed?
Mr. President, the reason why we wanted a caucus, any one of these delegates that come here, we want them to be qualified delegates that know exactly what's going on and be available at all times. It's not everybody that you may get a delegate that is popular, but he don't have any time. We'd like to get someone here that know exactly what our problems are, and when we get our problems, we must get a delegate that knows exactly what he's doing, and he could be there at the call of the chair. That is important at all times.
Which are not represented right now. Little Diomede, Wales, and Shaktulik. He should be coming in later sometime today, I hope. Or we should make an effort to find him. Uniclete will be deciding who their delegate is. And in the meantime, Chairman will have...
You forgot.
As chairman of the credentials committee, I will read the certified spokesman and official village delegates to the credentials committee. We'll start off with Arctic Slope Native Association. Joseph Upikson, the chairman. Out of Anaktuvik Pass, Riley Morey. Kaktuvik, Mickey Agiak. Barrow, Joe Upikson. And Jacob Adams. Point Hope, David Stone, Wainwright, George Agnesaga. The other villages in the Arctic Slope with no representatives are Atkasuk, Nuiksut, and Point Lay. The Northwest Alaska Native Association, William Hensley, spokesman on the villages, Ambler, Jack Penn, Buckland, Sigween Savak, Deering Emerson Moto, Kiana, Vince Shirk, Kobuk, James E. Comac, Kivalina, Elmer Armstrong Sr., Kotzebue, Bobby Schaefer, Willie Hensley, Willie Goodwin Jr., and Nortak, Roland Booth, Norvik, Paul Brown, and Robert Newland. Selawik, we have June Nelson. Shungnak, Stanley Custer. Out of the Bering Straits Association, spokesman is Martin L. Olson. Brevig Mission, Jerry Kaloki. Elam, Andrew Daniels. Gamble, Conrad Oziva. Koyuk, Stanley Charles. King Island, Margaret Sarana. Nome, Hannah Miller. Northeast Cap, June Baker.
Birch Creek, Winston James. Chalkeetsik, Chester Druk. Richard Martin. Circle, Alan John. Eagle, Horace Biederman. Fort Yukon, Larry Peterson, Donald Peter, and Jonathan Solomon. Rampart, Henry Wheel. Stevens Village, Gilbert Steffens, Venati, Bertha Frank, Alakakit and Alatna, Kathy Linus, Galena, Roger Huntington, Beverly Hundorf, Andrew Demoski, and Dorothy Yatlin. Grayling, Evelyn Deacon, Hughes, John Sackett, Huslia, Alberta Vent, Caltag, Franklin Madros, and George Madros. Kayakuk, Andrew Dayton, McGrath, Ernie Holmberg, John Andrews, and George Miller. Minto, Floyd Alexander, and Melvin Charlie. Ninana, Raymond Jensen, and Richard Ketzler. Nikolai, Don Dennis. Nulato, Ivan Sipri. Ruby, John Honey. Shigaluk, John Jordan. Tanana, Philip Kennedy, and Marion Charlie. Bettles, none. Cantwell, Roy Tanzi. Medfra, Tony Pitka. Takotna, David Miller. Talida and Wiseman have no delegates at this convention. Doc Lake, Carl Charles. Northway, Harold Northway. Tanacross, Oscar Isaac, and Andrew Isaac. And Tetlin, Helen David.
In all, delegates were present from over 200 villages.
I'd like to call on Janet Parks to explain to you a little bit about the status of the work that's being done on enrollment for conducting the final roll in Alaska related to the land claims bill that's just passed. Janet Parks, the enrollment officer from Washington, D.C.
Good afternoon. Now that we have a bill and know the definition of Native and what will be required to be enrolled, we are developing regulations for preparing the roll and the procedures for actually going out and getting the information. We have to develop the forms that will be used, the computer programs, and this sort of thing, but we are actively working on the preparation of the roll now. Does any of you have any questions I might answer of a general nature? We hope to employ Alaska Natives possibly through contracts, but as of now, I don't know, and I do have my doubts as to whether we could contract the preparation of the roll, because the Secretary is responsible for approving the roll when it's finished, and this is something that will have to be decided, but I doubt that very seriously whether we could contract the whole preparation of the roll to the AFN. We will be working with the regions and right down with the village people also in identifying the Natives and the people they recognize as members. The young lady suggested that instead of contracting with the AFN, that we contract with the regions because they know their people. And my reply is that we will be working with the regions and with the village people also. Determination of eligibility for inclusion on the Alaska Native roll is up to the Secretary. His determination is final. But in questions where there or in cases where there's a question as to whether an individual is recognized as a member of the tribe would be consulted. Under the terms of the Act itself, it makes the Secretary responsible for the final decision. If the individual is rejected at the local level, he may appeal to the Secretary for a review of the decision. We have a 2-year limitation provided by statute, and to meet that limitation, we will have to use different procedures. Our role we take under the Act will be more of a census role rather than a judgment role, and the regulations will provide different procedures. For instance, we will not require birth certificates, and that is one thing that held up action in the Tlingit Haida role. The people had trouble getting their birth certificates and getting them in. It will require personal contact with a census taker, or for those living in the lower 48, male contact. The question was, will there be a cutoff date for benefits? The Act provides the people who will be on the roll must be born on or prior to and living on the date of enactment of the Act, which is the day the President signs it. I have a question here. Under the enrollment section, what is the interpretation permanent resident of a region? I'm sorry, I cannot answer that right now. This will come in future information. The question is whether we can designate an enrollee as belonging to a national group or a regional group or an urban group. Under the language in the bill, a person is enrolled as a member of the region in which he resides. If he is not a permanent resident of the region, the Secretary determines where he shall be enrolled under priorities named in the Act. One is where he resided the last 2 years. The second is where he resided for an aggregate of 10 years. The third is where he was born, and the fourth is where his ancestors were residents. Or another provision of the bill is if a person's residing away from Alaska, they have an opportunity to elect whether they wish to be enrolled as a 13th region or in one of the 12 regions as a non-resident. If the region is not, if the 13th region is not established, the individual would be enrolled according to the selections I just gave you. And where children are involved, the parent's election for dependent members of his family under 18 shall govern. 1/4 Alaska, Aleut, or Eskimo blood, or in the absence of proof of native blood, recognition by the village in which the parents are or were members.
At this time, I'd like to have Robert Bruce address you on some of the particulars on implementing, once this bill is passed, the work that the Interior Department will do. Thank you, Janet, and we'll be calling on you again. Mr. Bruce, would you?
At the present time, we in Washington are meeting with all the affected bureaus, BLM, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the Forest Service, and Social Security, HEW, in order to make decisions as to how best to proceed. We have a rather involved education process, we feel, of trying to be sure that all the natives in Alaska are informed of their rights under the bill, of trying to identify lands that are available to them for selection by having maps and plats available for village and village leaders to look at so that they will have some idea as to what lands are available in the withdrawals for their selections. The Secretary and the Commissioner are taking very seriously their responsibilities to be sure that this settlement will be of long-standing benefit to all the people of Alaska, and that there will be few, if as few as possible misunderstandings about the bill when we finished our work under it over the next 4 or 5 years. It is imperative that BIA and BLM people and the natives here be in constant contact, both here in the field and in Washington, so that any questions that arise can be answered as quickly as possible. Regulations will be prepared and will be published as soon after the President signs the bill as they can possibly be gotten together. I have one question here. We explain the hardship clause in the bill and who will benefit. I think what this questioner is referring to, and are you the... is the provision in the bill whereby the Secretary of the Interior can pull out 2 million acres of land for certain purposes. And one of the purposes is that there are 4 historic, more or less historic village sites in Alaska that are modern in character and are not entitled to any land, but this bill out of this 2 million acres would give each of those 4 areas one township or 23,040 acres. I think that was what was referred to as the hardship provision, is it not, Don?
Yes, hardship cases would be taken under that.
There's also a provision in that bill, in that section, where the out of that 2 million acres, the Secretary would be allowed to take out of that area historical sites and cemetery sites that are of importance to the natives that they want designated. And this is something we'll have to be in consultation with you about so that y'all can designate these sites. Question was, will the corporations, the regional corporations that are farmed, be private corporations? The bill provides that the corporate, once the regions are designated, and let me explain that there will be a maximum of 13 corporations if the 13th one is farmed, and there can be no fewer than 7 regional corporations under the bill. They will be privately formed corporations. They have certain federal characteristics in that the bill places certain limitations on those corporations and places certain requirements against them during the first 20 years of their existence. But basically, they are corporations that are owned 100 shares of stock to every person who is listed as being a resident or as being part of that corporation under the enrollment process. The question is, where an individual has been removed, I guess, from the area by state or federal authority, is that action covered? Not specifically. And we're getting into an area, frankly, right here, where we're going to have to do some determination and some study. And we'll try and work this out. Janet, you... The question was, is there any specific authority in the bill to protect those people who were required to move by government action? There was authority in some of the bills specifically covering this. There is not in this bill. Again, I will say that in the enrollment process, one of the things we will have to look at is this kind of forced movement. And I just can't answer this question specifically for you at this time, but it is, this is the kind of thing that will be brought to our mind during this meeting that we will take back to Washington, that we will have to look at and we will want to consider. Because again, as I say, this is something that's foremost in your minds, and it's something that if we're going to do a good job, we're going to have to answer. And so, as I say, Janet and I will keep this particular point in mind, and this will be a point of discussion before we move on the rolls. I have another question. Is there anything in the bill that protects the natives from lawsuits by organizations such as the Miners Association? No, there is not. Once the corporations are formed, they become corporations under state law, and they are subject to suits and so forth as are anyone else. Now, I gather that this individual probably has some specific types of lawsuits in mind. If the suit involves land that the government has deeded to them, that land is generally protected by the act of the Congress in giving it to them. In those cases, the government, this is again is an opinion the regional solicitor may have some additional views on, but the government will then look at its responsibility of protecting the people it has given the land in the possession of that land. And what I'm saying is I would like to have some specific discussion on this point at some time during the meeting. If this questioner will approach myself and the regional solicitor about it, we might be able to answer it. Villages designated on the Lower Alaska Peninsula are erroneously included either in the Aleut League or Kodiak. They should be in Bristol Bay Native Association. What can be done to correct this? The lines of the regional corporations are generally outlined in the bill. The final authority as to how each of the regions will be formed and what their specific borders will be is in the secretary. And what I believe should be done in these cases is that those villages who have an interest, who lie near the edge of one or more associations, should sit down with BIA and BLM people, particularly BIA people, and discuss moving the boundaries to include them in one area or another. The boundaries of the associations are not firmly established. The Act just simply says that where it's possible, the Secretary should recognize regional associations based upon the 12 regional associations as they now exist in Alaska. But those are not firm and are subject to negotiation if the village, if the natives wish to negotiate on that point. Would those on reservations have someone explain to them advantages and disadvantages of staying on reservation status, vice versa, of going along with the land selection? Let me explain this. In Section 19 of the bill, I believe it is, the reservations of Alaska, except for Metlakatla, are terminated, and their reserve status is ended. There is in that section, in subsection B, a provision that allows those natives who live on those reserve lands to choose between keeping, between taking title to the reserve and the subsurface land as well as the surface, and giving up all other rights under the bill, are giving up their reserve, having their village then select land as it's entitled to under the bill, and receiving all other rights under the bill. And yes, prior to the time of this selection, I personally feel, and I think that the Secretary and the Commissioner will join me in this feeling, that one of the most important things we have to do is explain to those villages who live and who are located on the reserves their options, the good and bad points of taking their reservation in fee, surface and subsurface, or of giving up the reserve and going under the general terms of the bill. And in some instances, it will be a very difficult decision. But it's something that I think we need to give a very thorough education program on to those people involved.
Mr. Bruce will be available in the morning to continue in question and answer session. So thank you very much, Mr. Bruce, and you can keep the unanswered questions and continue tomorrow.